This podcast is a TOEFOP production.
Head to TOEFOP.com for more.
The following episode of TOEFOP is rated MA for mature audiences. It may contain sexual references, time travel references, allegations of bin misconduct, and mild coarse language. TOEFOP advises that this episode is not suitable for anyone under the age of 15 or anyone who thinks a comedy conversation between two old mates sounds like a terrible idea for a show. Minors must be accompanied by a parent or guardian. This is John Deek speaking.
This is TOEFOP. I'm Charlie Clawson.
I'm Will Anderson. Hello and thank you for watching. And I say hello and thank you for watching every week, but this week I hope you are watching. I hope you've gone to the video feed of this, which is accessible, of course, to our Patreon subscribers. For as little as a dollar a month, you can get access to the video episodes of this. And Charlie has gone in the last 2 minutes from, you are not in your usual place of recording. Well, actually, neither of us are in our usual places of recording, but you are in someone else's home, I imagine, is what is going on. Correct. And in the background, there is a piano. And when we first crossed to you in that room, it honestly looked like this was ABC News Breakfast and they were just it's Classics Weeks on Classic FM. And yeah, we've got one of the composers who put together the playlist of his top 10 classical tracks of all time to chat through it. And then your headphones weren't working.
Let's not rush past that. So yes, okay. Definitely I look like, and that's all about the hair. Well, I'm wearing black because I'm in Melbourne, so obviously dressed to impress. But it was also the way my hair looks at the moment, because I have long hair, but it was it was unstyled, it was not tied back, it was flowing over my shoulders, and I have just enough gray flowing through my dark hair to make me look like some kind of like mad composer, a guy who would be locked in a room with a piano.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. You had very much it's Grammys time and Josh Groban's on the line. Talk us through what you've got up at the Grammys this year, Josh Groban. Like, and I'm not even really sure what sort of music Josh Groban makes, but when I looked at you, I was like, that's a real Josh Groban feel.
I think Josh Groban, and I'm not 100% certain on this, but I think Josh Groban is like the David Campbell of Canada.
Is that right? He's Canadian. That does make a lot of sense. Like, I wasn't even sure 100% when I said his name, Josh Groban, out loud, that was his name, because that doesn't actually sound like a person's name. The more you say it, Josh Groban, you're like, no, that's a made-up name. No one is called Groban. There isn't a family of Grobans that have persisted in Canada. That's the only place you could have the last name Groban and it continue in your family without you changing it, is Canada, because they're too polite to say, that's a bad name, have a different name.
There is that niche entertainment bracket, though, that certain singers can go into, where it's like, the good news is you'll never have to write an original song. The bad news is your target market is mostly going to be women over 50.
I mean, is that bad news? Like, women over 50, they're a loyal audience. You know, women over 50, they've made some choices about what it is that they find socially acceptable to have fantasies about. And for a while it was Michael Bublé. And it feels like Groban has seen a Bublé-shaped hole and kind of like, what if there was like a cooler, funkier Bublé?
Well, Podcast Mike, while we're talking, could you just please make sure that I got my information correct? I think Josh Grogan, I've forgotten his name already. I think he is Canadian, but I might be wrong on that.
I am going to actually have a look at Josh Groban and see if we can find out some Josh Groban information. So Josh Groban, according to Wikipedia, here we go. Full name. Let's go with this for a start. What's his first name? What's his first full name?
Joshua.
Joshua Groban. What is his middle name? Now, there is absolutely no way that you could possibly actually guess this. So I'm going to have to give you a Charlie Clawson, two guys, one cup style clue to see if I can actually get you towards guessing what his middle name is.
Impossible to decipher.
Yeah. Okay. So say the Australian cricket team recently went to Pakistan, and the problem with Pakistan is all the pitches over there, they're not really for results. So there's not a lot of wickets. There's a lot of batsmen playing. So over the three test series, the first test was a draw. The second test was a draw, but Australia held their patience and they won on the final day of the third test to clinch the series 1-0 in a three test series. How would you describe what they did if it was a name?
What? What? I mean, see, I know you're going to take it hard.
The sort of clue that you give me every week on Two Guys, One Cup, and expect me, it will be one of these clues that as soon as I say the answer, you'll be like, oh, yeah, that was a really good clue. But at the moment, you have no idea what I'm talking about. And for once, the tables have turned, sir. The shoe is on the other foot.
Okay. Okay, I feel like I'm being taught a lesson here. So, okay, so Australia gets to the third test
what,
in a five-test series.
What did Australia do? His name is a combination of two words. What did Australia do and how did they do it?
Okay, and it's not drew, as in they drew a test.
No, because they didn't draw in the end. They did something else, didn't they? What did they do in the end?
Oh, so it's a cricket, it's specifically cricket terminology, like a follow-on.
You're very
like
close
that.
With drew. So like they drew the first one, they drew the second one, and then what did they do in the third one? No, what did they do in the third one?
They won, they lost, won.
Yeah,
won.
Okay.
Okay,
but not one. Word, one. What's the the singular of
win.
One? No, win. Good. You've got the first
win,
half.
Win. Oh, Winston.
Win.
Winston.
Not Winston. So they didn't, because the second clue was how did they do it? And they didn't do it in a ston file. So.
what's the second part clue again? Second how first did word, they, second syllable clue?
Yeah, it was a three test series. They tied the first, they tied the second, and on the final day of the third test, they win. So how did they win?
Win third? Is his name Winthird? Joshua Winthird Groban?
Winthird Groban.
No, I don't know. Give me the answer.
Slow. Winslow. Joshua Winslow Groban.
Okay. I would never have got that with it.
See what it's like? Yeah. It makes a lot of sense now that I say it though, right?
It does. It does. I mean, I Winslow, yeah. I mean, Winslow, technically, but yeah, Winslow. I'll accept that as well.
Yeah, I know, but what was I mean? Oh, okay, somebody was doing a limbo competition and they were the victorious in the limbo competition because they did what? Winslow.
They went low. Better. Winslow. They won low. They won low. Josh Groban won low.
Anyway, we've made it three words into this Wikipedia entry so far, so let's push on. Joshua Winslow Groban, born February 27th, 1981. February 27th. Okay. Very close to being a leap year baby, possibly. Is an American... Well, not...
Let's not get into leap years on this show. Traditionally, that doesn't aid well.
No. Is an American singer, songwriter, musician, actor, and record producer. Oh, wow. His first four solo albums have been certified multi-platinum. He was charted in 2007 as the number one best-selling artist in the United States with over 22.3 million records.
So that answers our first question, right? He's American. He's not. He's
Groban was born in Los Angeles, California, to Jack Groban, a businessman, and Lindy Groban, a schoolteacher. Okay. Well, there you go. Yeah. All right. Okay. So he's super popular.
It's a weird name, Groban, isn't it? Like, it's kind of the name that you'd expect to see in like one of those teen comedies, like the snooty principal Groban. Like it on its own, it sounds like
Groban.
Yeah. Oh no, because doing it that way is your. If he was the cool kid, it'd be, oh, Groban, but it's more like, up yours, Principal Groban.
And now what you're thinking of here, so he's done a lot of Christmas albums and stuff like that. So this is where the sort of, you know, Bublé world has intersected with the Groban world, I think. So, because I think if you put out a Christmas album, that is definitely pitching for your sort of over 50s mums audience.
100%.
Yeah.
And I think also too, the Christmas association that misled me to Canada, because snow, Canada snow.
Oh no, Groban feels Canadian. Like it 100% made sense when you said it, even though I'd never heard that. I was like, nah, that makes sense. He feels very Canadian. He is not.
Now, I think I saw him at the Logie. Oh, see, I get him and Bublé confused. Mm-hmm. Who's more successful? If you had to guess, would it be Bublé?
Ooh, Is Bublé more successful than Groban? I mean, Groban sold 22 million copies of an album. It's a lot of albums.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like a lot though. I think Five also sold 20. Oh, I wasn't going to talk about him, but it's not a lot.
Okay, that's the big question. Is Josh Groban more popular than the boy group Five? This is how we basically measure anything going forward. Less or more popular than Five. I would say that Bublé sold more albums. Podcast Mike, can you look up who's sold the most albums, Josh Groban or Michael Bublé? Who do you think, Charlie?
I think Bublé. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like Bublé has a bit more sex appeal, if that's the right word.
Really?
Like, I think that Bublé was marketed more as like, well, you know, you'd say, you know, this is not your mum's, you know, reimagining of Frank Sinatra. This is your daughter's. If Frank Sinatra could appeal to young girls again, it would be Bublé. Because he was photographed, like, I think he dated models and he was always in those kind of magazines and shirtless in the Bahamas and stuff. That's my very uneducated read on Bublé.
Podcast Mike, what's the information? What's the tale of the tape?
So Josh Groban has sold over 35 million albums worldwide, which is quite a feat, but Michael Bublé over 75 million. So 70, more than double.
Bublé.
75 in your face, Groban. You're no Bublé. Don't even pretend you're a Bublé. You're half the man Bublé is.
But it's so, they both have comically like weird names. Like a Bublé, if I said to you, hey, come hang out with my teammates Bublé and Groban, you'd be like, what is wrong with them? Why are you hanging out with a Bublé and a Groban?
I mean, it does sound like some sort of modern crime fighting team though, doesn't it? Bublé and Groban.
No, it's
are you sounds, watching the new series of Bublé and Groban?
It sounds more like if there are two Smurfs. Have you heard that they're making another Smurfs movie? They've got two new characters, Bublé and Groban.
Bublé and Groban Smurf. I'm Bublé Smurf. You could have Bublé Smurf, like playing in the local sort of Smurf, like singing like in a tuxedo, in a Smurf, in a blue, blue and white tuxedo, like singing Smurf classics in the corner of the bar. And then you could have your Groban Smurf down at the piano, like kind of a bit longer haired, you know, poking out of his little Smurf hat.
And it'd be like singing, start Smurfing the news. I'm Smurfing today.
Smurfing today, because that's all they do. Just replace words with Smurf.
Do you think that was a way for the Smurfs to get around like copy?
Are they song parodies? Do they?
Yeah, that's what I was going to
say.
Ask.
Does it count as a song parody if you just, like, I get if it's like Smurfing USA, that's a song parody, right? Because it's actually a play on surfing. But if you just take, I want to Smurf you like an animal, I want to Smurf you from the inside, does that count as a cover version?
Well,
here's a parody?
Here's another question. If you or I were to release, I want to Smurf you like an animal, are we exempt, because it's parody, are we exempt from copyright infringement, or do the owners of Smurf get to sue us because we're using their copyrighted IP?
Well, I think the music, any sort of version still has to go past the publishers of the music. So I remember when Chris the Bloke Franklin did his song Bloke, and
Vaughan
it was a cover
Vaughan
of
Meredith
song.
I believe Vaughan Kerr voted for that in Triple J's Hottest 100 several times.
Gave him a standing ovation when he saw him perform it live at the Sydney Comedy Store, from memory. So
he spent the whole show leading up to Chris getting on stage going, I hope he sings Bloke. I hope he sings Bloke. And like, I'm pretty sure he's going to sing Bloke, Vaughan. You're okay.
He sings Bloke, and it's so long since Bloke came out that he has to do a whole explanation of who Meredith Brooks was and what the song Bitch was for people to actually understand what the reference point is before he actually goes into it. But my understanding, I think, from Chris of how that went down, I'm sorry if I'm remembering this wrong, is that they had to run, you have to run it by the publishers. So, like, it doesn't mean that, like, I know when Tripod did the cover of Paranoid Android on one of their albums, it had to go to Radiohead's people to see if they could actually get permission to do it. Now, I'm not sure that Tom York is running his lazy eye over every submission that comes in for a Radiohead cover, but I imagine there is some process that, like, they go through as a band. Somebody is making that decision. And apparently Meredith Brooks thought it was really funny. Like, she was into the idea, but the guy who actually wrote the music, maybe, or whatever, wasn't as into it. until the record company explained to him how many albums it was going to sell and how much money he was going to make out of it. And then he was really into it. He was really behind it.
Do you think it's I was wondering about that with cover songs. I was listening to Mrs. Robinson by the Lemonheads. And I was like, oh, this is one of those cover songs which actually I think I like more than the original. But is there like a set percentage that when you do a cover, so just say you're a band and you need a hit and you do a cover of a song, like is it worthwhile? Like, are you going to make zero money, but you get like notoriety and airplay? Or, you know, is there some, do you get like 10% of the profits from doing that cover?
Yeah, I don't think it all goes to the original artist. Because, I mean, it is a new piece of work. But yes, there's a certain percentage of money that goes to the original artist. And I think it's a substantial amount of money, I think. So it is very much like, you know, getting it out there and the artists themselves, the original artist benefits from that. So like when Alien Ant Farm covered Smooth Criminal, of course, you know, that was a win-win because we got to know who Alien Ant Farm were, and we also, Michael Jackson made some more money. So, I mean, there's no downside to that story, just positives on every side of it.
Well, I think we should push ahead with this Smurf cover of Closer. I've just got the lyrics here. So let's see how often we have to swap Smurf in to make this work. So you let me Smurf you. 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 That's the first verse, right?
Yeah, I smurfed apart my insides. I don't think we can leave any of the original lyrics in at that point. We have to just, so far, there's a lot of smurfing. Let's see what else happens.
I smurfed apart my insides. Help me. I've got no smurf to sell, or I've got no soul to smurf. I've got no smurf to sell. To make it rhyme, we'd probably have, I've got no smurf to sell.
I'm going to say I've got no smurf to sell. Also, I think it's good that they're not selling smurfs. Like, it's a statement against slavery. We don't want smurfs selling other smurfs.
Help me, the only thing that smurfs for me, help me get away from myself. I think we can leave that. That's probably the one lyric where we don't have to swap out smurf.
Yeah, one line so far we haven't inserted smurf into. I want to smurf you like an animal. I want to smurf you from the inside.
I want to smurf you like an animal. My whole existence is flawed. You get me closer to God. We can leave that, can't we? That's, I mean, in isolation, that could be considered maybe like a Christian song lyric. You get me closer to God.
Could it be like, you get me closer to like Gargamel or something? You get me closer to Papa Smurf. You know what I mean? Like,
okay. You get me closer to Gargamel. I like that. I don't think that's, syncopation doesn't work, but we'll squeeze it in. You can have my isolation. That's not too scary for kids. You can have the hate that it brings. That might be getting too scary.
You can have the smurf have that it brings. You can have the smurf.
You can have my isolation. You can have the smurf that it brings. You can have my absence of faith. You can smurf my everything.
Yeah,
I don't know. I think is it work? All right. Okay.
Yep.
You tear down my reason. Help me. It's your smurf I can smell. Help me. You make me perfect. Help me become somebody smurf. No, help me become somebody else. That's fine. I want to smurf you like an animal. I want to smurf you from the inside. I want to smurf you like an animal. You bring me closer to Gargamel. I didn't even know this is lyrics in the song. Through every forest, which works for the smurfs because they live in a forest.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Above the trees, within my stomach, scraped off my knees. All right, now we're getting into like,
Poetry. I mean, this is all could just be read as what it is. I mean, I know that that's not what he's doing, but like if you're a kid, like it can just be something that someone who needs something scraped off their knees. They've been in the forest.
Okay, well, can I just change one? So rather than within my stomach, because kids don't say that, kids say tummy.
Tummy.
So through, through every forest, above every trees, within my tummy, scraped off my knees, which works because kids scrape their knees.
Great. All the time. I drink it's the relatable.
Honey. I drink the honey. Kids I'm sure honey. Smurfs love a bit of honey. Inside your hive. What are the Smurfs?
That's fine.
I mean, it's kind of gross.
Underground hut.
That Smurfs live in a hive. Like they're these cute little blue kind of gnome creatures, but then they just all like gross bugs just like pile into the same hive and just like lie on top of each other, like writhing top of each other.
It is kind of what they do. And there's like much like a hive, there's one woman and a lot of men.
You are the reason I stay alive. Well, you know, I actually thought that was going to be a lot more hard. I think it's really just the main, the chorus. You got to swap out the Smurf. I want to Smurf you from the inside.
Okay. So I like the idea previous to this, which was responses to songs. So like if, you know, say for example, you had this song, wouldn't it be great to hear same music, but from the other person's perspective? So like Nine Inch Nails, like they released Closer, which is like, I want to, you know, fuck you like an animal. And then the response song is like, I want to be fucked like an animal. I want to be fucked from the inside. And then you just have a companion piece that feels more consensual. You know what I mean? Like it's two sides. Maybe even a duet. That's what I would like to see.
So it's like a
Nine Inch Nails do a duet.
It's, yeah. Yeah. A Meatloaf type song. That's, right. That's what you want. It's just like... You want to hear the response. Like you could do like I'd Do Anything for Love, but then you just give one verse to the other person. So you can hear once you've laid out your case, they get to respond with, I would like
exactly.
That.
But that's the one thing that I find important in a relationship. Why won't you do that? It doesn't matter that you do anything else for love. This is the one thing I'm asking for. Piss on me. Is that what it was? Smurf on me. Sorry.
You'll find the word is Smurf on me. Now, well, I've come down to Melbourne for the weekend, ostensibly to watch football, but, you know, to catch up with family and friends. And last night when I was on the way to my friend's house, I was like, I'm going to be a good house guest and I'm going to pick up like a box of donuts. There's a fancy new donut shop just off Chapel Street, and I'd heard about it. And so I was like,
so you're going to be a good house guest and buy the people you're staying with your favorite item to eat. Let's be fair about what is going on here.
Well, yes, it is, but it is also, they are also
what should I get these people? The thing that I like the most.
Yeah. I mean, it's Mother's Day this weekend. I did get Gemma a chainsaw, which she wanted. And then I bought my friends a box of donuts. But I, so we got these, and they're really fancy, like super fancy. I must admit, when I walked into the store, because it's beautiful store. It's like decorated like an old French patisserie, you know, and they've got all these amazing fancy donuts in the window. And I was like, oh, this is so pretty and this is going to be so great. And then I walk in and the two people behind the counter had the worst acne I'd ever seen. And I'm like, oh boy, like, is this just like, you know, you're just putting it on front seat? Like you can enjoy our donuts, but this is a vision of what will happen if you eat our donuts.
I mean, it's more to do with the fact that they're teenagers, I would imagine, than the fact that they're...
They weren't teenagers. They were adults with terrible acne. And I'm like...
I mean, how adult?
Like early 20s. So, yeah, coming out of teens, definitely. University aged, I would say.
But still acne years. That's okay. You can still have acne. Well, I mean, you can still have acne all your life and it's nothing to be ashamed of. But
well, it's like, the hardest years, the fallen years, the donut years, the acne years.
Look, it would warm me off a little. I got to be honest with you. If I saw people who were in their 20s, and I walked into that shop, no fault of theirs, by the way. Like I know that acne is a terrible thing to like suffer from. And when I was a teenager, I had really bad acne and I'm always grateful of the fact that one day it just fucked off.
I still suffer from it. Well, I had to see a dermatologist last week because get this, I'm at an age now where I get acne, just not on my face. It's on the top of my head. And I saw the dermatologist and I was like, what's going on? I said, you know, is it because I'm not washing my hair enough? Is it because I'm sweating? And she's like, oh, no. You just get to a certain age and your body just starts producing different kind of flora and stuff and it starts attacking itself. It just happens as you get older. I'm like, oh, great. It's just like good news the older you get. So I get these like painful, they're not like pimples.
Oh, mate, like I had a mole on the side. I had a mole on the side of my face that like, I was like, oh, fuck, I'm going to have to go and see the skin doctor about this mole. And then one day I was like shaving and the mole came off and I was like, that's not a good idea. And then like it's been fine. My face just healed and everything's okay. Now I've probably got like secret skin cancer hiding underneath, but I'm like, I didn't realize one of the options was just to shave off your mole and then get on with the rest of your life.
Oh, well, this is like the worst thing about having this on my scalp under my hair is I don't know – I have it. And they're incredibly painful. It's just like these little lumps. They're not like pimples. They're just like these little painful lumps that come in my head. And I know that I have one when I put my head back on the floor or lean against a wall or something. And all of a sudden, it's just like I get this super painful lump in my head. So the dermatologist I went and saw last week was like, oh, yeah, you know, it's just your body's producing. It'll happen as you get older. Your body just starts producing different things on your skin and you just got to maintain. He said it's incurable. So there's nothing we can do about it. Like, you know, it's just going
to
come.
Thanks, mate. Well, glad I made this special appointment to come to see you then, mate. Yeah, just happens, doesn't it? You get older, weird shit happens.
You just shrug.
Yeah, but I came to you because weird shit was happening and I thought, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
He said, life's weird, eh?
Yeah, meh. I think that was his diagnosis, meh.
It's like, it's crazy, isn't it? Well, I guess you're just going to have to not put your head against the wall or lie down on the ground anymore.
Well, no, I've been given these little, I've got to take this 3-month course of, I guess it's antibiotics or something akin to antibiotics, but it's basically, it's going to nuke my head. So I take these little pills and it's just going to dry out my scalp and milk.
That would be my argument every time someone says, oh, what's in the vaccine? Is like literally what you just said then, which is, I've got this course of something. It might be an antibiotic. I'm not really sure. You're definitely going to take it. You're certainly not researching what's in it or how long it was developed for or anything like that. You're just like, this guy who reckons you can't do anything about it said, take these pills for 3 months. So I'm in.
No, mate, I am in the pocket of Big Pharma big time because Big Pharma came to my rescue last night again. So anyway, I get these donuts and bring them around and we just stay in last night and, you know, have some actually, I didn't drink anything. I just drank water, but we just sat around and chatted and had dinner and watched some TV and made our way through these delicious, delicious donuts. And look, here's the thing. I am such a self-confessed donut lover. Like,
what sort of donuts? Believe this, talk us through the donuts.
Okay, so all right, so they were all that fancy American style donut. None of your kind of Footscray Station old school jam donut. We're talking those big, super fluffy, super super light donuts. Everything's glazed. So there was probably like, I don't know, 20 flavors to choose from. So I chose an original glazed, just you know. Start the basics and a sugar dusted jam raspberry, and then I started moving into the fancier area. So there was a peanut butter one, which was kind of like whipped cream with peanut drizzled on top and crushed peanuts. I'm going to have to close these blinds because it's getting even more arty. It's going to look like I'm doing film noir.
Charlie is currently struggling with the blinds in the spare room that he's doing this podcast from. And he honestly, you've got to watch the video. Sign up to our Patreon. As little as $1 a month and you can see Charlie wrestling with blinds.
Oh, God. That's better. Is that better? That's better.
Yeah, it's nice. It's arty.
Oh, I still haven't quite got them down.
It's good. It's futuristic. You've got a couple of like, you know, lines across you. That's okay. Nothing wrong with that.
There we go. There we go. That's better. Is it better? No? What's wrong?
We never got to the fact, changed. By the way, that Charlie is wearing like a pair of fucking teenage gamer headphones. We actually never even got to that conversation. But the whole time he's been looking like he's been doing a Twitch stream and then you just turned into an old guy wrestling with some blinds.
Like everything is out of whack and I blame the donuts.
Okay.
So they're amazing. Okay, so that was peanut butter with whipped cream. Then there was one called the Snickers, which was like chocolate coated with peanuts and caramel on top. Then there was a strawberry cream one, which wasn't really for me. It was for my friend's kid because I know she likes that. But I'm never a big fan of cream or custard filled donuts. Just jam is the only filling I like. And then I feel like there was one other, but I can't remember. Anyway, delicious, amazing donuts. But then I sort of got a bit tired around 11:30, 10.
And how many did you eat? Give us a sense of how much you actually ate of these donuts, you reckon?
I reckon because we shared them all because they're all so big, we sort of like cut them into little sections. Look at this light, by the way. I mean,
it now looks like you're in Tron with those headphones and the way the light is coming in on your black top. It now looks like you are in the movie Tron.
It is. Hang on, let me just try.
Somehow you've managed to make it much worse than it was before. Like, you literally look like you're in.
That's better.
There we go. Okay, you're back. It's Groban. Groban's back.
Okay. This is, looks much better. It's the headphones which still look weird. Like Will says, it's enough motivation to go to our Patreon to see the full effect of what I've just been through the last 10 minutes. So we just cut them up. We'll just take little slices and eat them. And I went to bed about 10:30, 11, and woke up at like 3:30, and I was like, oh my God, like I feel like tight in the chest and like I've got a headache and I was really dry in the mouth. And so I sort of sat up and, you know, when you sort of don't know, you know, you're not well, but you're like, is this like, do I need to throw up or do I have a headache or am I dehydrated? Like, what's going on here? So I sort of was sitting there and sweating, like having like full on kind of meat sweats. And so I was like, I'm just going to go to the bathroom and just take a couple of Panadol. Cause like I said, I'm in the pocket of Big Pharma. So I went and got the Panadol, which sort of took the headache away. But all I could taste, all I could feel coursing through my body was like this, you know, the six different flavors of donut that I'd consumed. It was like I had a donut hangover. You know, like when you wake up with a hangover and you can just sort of, you just have the remnants of whatever booze you drank the night before. I had that, but with donuts. Like,
did you consider
instant regret? Just
hair of the donut. Like, yeah, much like with alcohol, you got to get up the next day and have a Bloody Mary. Did you, I mean, maybe this is an opportunity for this donut franchise, is they sell you an extra one, which is like a Bloody Mary flavored donut that is for the next morning. Like, say if you have a big night on the, you know, the donuts on a Saturday night, you know what it's like. Gets late at night, suddenly everyone's like, should we get some donuts? I know a guy who can get us donuts, but you need like this one's for tomorrow morning. When you wake up with a little donut hangover, you just got to have this.
Yeah, but I mean, you don't want to buy it to this stuff any guy because you sort of get that sugar on the donut and you're like, is this actually real sugar? I feel like he's cut this with like baby powder or something.
Yeah, this is definitely some artificial sweetener. This is not sugar at all. This is Splendor.
It was generally like sometimes if you really listen to your body, like I knew that my body was saying like, you got to flush whatever you've eaten, you got to get out of your body. Cause it was like, it was almost like food poisoning in a sense where, you know, with food poisoning, it's like it wants to escape out both ends and your body's saying just flush until we can get this poison out. So I was just like sculling like bottles of water. But I even woke up this morning and I haven't touched alcohol in like a week. And I woke up this morning with a genuine hangover, like sort of felt dehydrated and thumping head. And I was like, is it possible that you can get a sugar hangover? I mean, my body's not a temple by any stretch, but I do eat kind of healthy. And, you know, we've discussed in the past when I've tried to do a rock cheat meal and it never works out. I think, I mean, because these donuts were like primo. This, you know, that kind of white flour you have, sometimes you get it with the croissant. Or, you know, some beautiful like patisserie food where the white flour is just like so buttery and sublime. Like it's almost like it just sort of melts. Like, and that's what these donuts were like. Like if you just sort of pulled them apart, they had that kind of stretchy, almost like cheese crust pizza. So that has got to be like a lot of butter and a lot of sugar in that flour. Like, I think that's my number one, I guess like vice or flaw is like white flour. There's something about that processed, lacking nutrition white flour. Like, you just give me a slice of Tip Top bread with butter, or like this donut deep fried dough covered in sugar, and I'm like, yeah, I love it. But my body was just like, nah, you can't, mate. You've got flora. You've got new flora to produce. You can afford to be putting this kind of shit in your body.
But there is something that your body craves about it. I mean, I talked to you about when I was in Melbourne, I have like pregnancy style cravings when I'm doing shows. Like my body will just like suddenly just, I was in like Melbourne. I had all these grand plans of like, it's one of the best food cities in the world. I'm going to eat, you know, I've been in the country. I haven't had access to all these different restaurants. I'm going to eat some different variety of food every day. And then I got into work mode and my body was just like, you need to eat toast. The only thing you're allowed to eat is different things on bread. That is the only thing that my body will process during this time. It's
white,
what we need.
Dry white toast.
And the other thing is that I do think that there's something I had this week I went to this croissant place and they had done one of those ingenious things where, you know, where a business comes up with a way of repackaging their wasted produce at the end of the day. So clearly this is what this did. The origins of this dish hadn't come from anybody wanting this dish. The origins of this dish had come from the croissant place at the end of the day having a bunch of old croissants that they were going to have to chuck out and going, what can we make these into that we can repackage it, right?
They're like donut holes. That's what donut holes are. It's like, oh, you've just found a way to sell your offcuts.
So what this was like a take on a bread pudding, you know, like an old-fashioned bread pudding, but it was chocolate. And made with croissants. So instead of the bread in a bread pudding, it was like a croissant pudding and chocolate flavored.
In chocolate.
And it was unlike anything I've ever tasted in my life and also delicious. Like I was just like, this is essentially like stoner food was basically what they were making, but it was so tasty.
Do you ever get those targeted ads on Instagram where it's like, It's like a foodie targeted ad where it's like someone like they get a pizza and then they cover the pizza in ham and then they throw in cheese and then they put that pizza in a hamburger and then they put that pizza in and they deep fry it and then they take it out and then they drizzle like peanut butter chocolate on it. It's like this real porny kind of like they'll pull it apart in slow motion. You can sort of see the cheese and everything like hanging off.
Yeah, I do. And I get more and more of them because I watch them. Like, you know, that's how the algorithm works is that, like, eventually if you pause long enough, even if you don't say follow the account on Instagram, but if it's like here's a pet doing a funny thing or here's someone falling over or here's some food hack porn video, like, if you pause on it, even if you're just flicking through for a couple of seconds, the algorithm recognizes that. And so next time it feeds you more of those. Well, I must have been pausing on a lot of them because at some stage I just started watching them. Mm. I just started going, you know what? Actually, I will follow this account.
I have a morbid fascination with them. There was one that got sent to me. It was like a vegan treat one. And it was how to make these like healthy chocolate chip cookies where it's, I think it was like you put in like a can of chickpeas, like a scoop of peanut butter, maple syrup, oats, I think some other couple other things. And then you blend it all up and then you mix in your chocolate chips, vegan chocolate chips. If you're a vegan, I just put in regular dark chocolate chips. And the video, like they looked amazing. And, you know, she did that slow-mo breaking it open so you could see like how soft and delicious they were. And so, because I make, you know, I've talked about the raisin cookie health, oat and raisin cookies I make for my own. I'm like, well, this seems one step healthier even. Like it's not even using flour. It's just chickpeas. And so I started to make them and it was just the most annoying process because my food processor, I think I must have burnt out the motor because I've been making a lot of acai bowls, you know, giving it hard things to blend. And so now you could put a marshmallow into my food processor. And it's like, oh, mate, oh, no, sorry. Oh, my back. It's hard. And you see him like pushing. He's like, oh, and you can hear him whirring. He's like, oh, I'm just throwing. And I'm like, mate, like what use to me are you if you can't even do the one thing you're designed for? If you can't process food, it's into the junkyard. So I've had this conversation with him. I'm like, just like lift your game. Because it's one of those KitchenAid ones where it's like, it's a, you know, a cake mixer on the front and a blender on the top and you can put a food processor at this. So that's one of those multi-function ones. But the weird thing is like the blender will work, but you put the food processor on and it just lacks the power. I don't know if it's, you know, the angle of the blades or whatever, but I couldn't blend these chickpeas, you know, you need to get them like really just like smooth. So it was like they had the texture of crunchy peanut butter. So there's little lumps of chickpeas, but in the ingredients, they said, don't worry, you won't taste the chickpeas because you're going to put in this maple syrup and this peanut butter. It's going to have like a nuttier flavor. So I put in everything else and I blend it all up. And Iona, she helps me when I make these things. It's like a little daddy-daughter thing to do. And even she was like,
I don't know about you putting chickpeas in this, Dad.
Yeah. She was like, I thought we were making cookies. And I'm like, well, yeah, you know, it's going to be healthier cookies. And so we finally like made these little ball things and whacked them in the oven. And they looked amazing. Like, they look exactly like the Instagram video. Like, when they came out, I was like, oh, wow. Like, they look like cookies. And, you know, they had that soft, chewy center, but a bit, like, crusty on the outside. And then I and it was fucking
Could you taste the chickpeas? First question, could you identify the chickpeas?
Yes. And that might be my food processor's fault, because I didn't blend them up like the lady said I had to. But I also think that, you know, it was just it's got chickpeas in it. That's the primary, that's the base ingredient. But I had to hide that from my owner. So I ate it and was like, this is great. And so if we make cookies, she'll have a bath, have a dinner, have a bath, and then she can have like a cookie before she goes to bed. So we did all that. And I gave her the cookie, and her response, she's in this habit now, which as a parent, I'm meant to be like, you know, dissuading her from doing, but I laugh every time. She took a bite of it, went like that, and then flung it across the room. And she does that quite a bit now with things that she doesn't like. If she's like reading through a book and doesn't like it, she just throws it. And it's funny every single time. But every time I have to be like, hey, no, we don't throw things we don't like. If you don't want it, that's fine. Just put it aside. And so then I said, are you sure you don't want it? And she's like, oh, maybe I'll try another one. So I gave her another one. She bit it, threw that one across the room as well. So now I have this like jar filled with these horrible vegan chocolate chip cookies, and I hate throwing food out. Like, I will eat stuff that I don't like just purely because it's a waste. It's, you know, something that growing up in a big family, mum was always like, you've got to, you know, eat what's ever prepared. So,
I mean, in a general sense, like, food wastage is terrible for the environment. Like, you know, and I'm embarrassed sometimes by the amount of food that we waste. At least, like, living up north, I've got like 2 compost bins going, and at least it all goes back into the garden. But still, even there, like, I think it's like we could solve so many problems about feeding the world just by us not throwing out the food that we make, just because
literally throwing the food in some cases.
Well, I mean, if you're a kid, I'm not blaming Iona for this. She feels like she's not making a statement about food wastage. She's just a kid. She's learning what her boundaries are. And I've got to be honest with you, Charlie, I would also find that hilarious. This is why I couldn't be a parent. I'd be like, yeah, that's exactly what I feel like too sometimes when I'm doing something that I don't like, just throwing it across the room. And I would say also, I understand probably in parenting there's good reasons to, A, curb that behavior because you don't want it to, you know, be something they continue to do. But you also know there's not too many people still doing that. Like a couple of tennis players, you know, a couple of bad bosses, those sort of things. But in a general sense, like temperamental artists. But mostly people get beyond the idea of going, like, imagine in our society – if there was like 1 in 10 people, just like if you handed them a coffee and they didn't like the flavor, just threw it away.
Chucking your face or threw it back at you.
Just, I don't mean at the person. I just mean randomly just went yuck and just threw it away.
Well, I don't know if you know anyone who does this or if Amy does this, but something that Gemma does that my older sister Lucy used to do to me when we were kids is when Gemma's eating something she doesn't like on her plate, she scrapes it onto my plate.
Oh.
Has Amy ever done that to you? As if you're like the dog that will
eat everything.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like she's got, you know, something she doesn't like on her plate. Like Gemma doesn't like tomatoes, for instance. So she'll pick the tomatoes out and scrape them onto my plate, but not like ask me if I want them. It's just assumed that the garbage dump over here will consume what I put on his plate, which 90% of the time is true, but still, like, plate. That's my sovereign plate.
To the point where, like, when you said that to me, you were asking as if it was an unusual thing. Has Amy ever done this? Yeah, all the time. I think that's pretty standard behavior.
Okay.
And good. I haven't even ever noticed it because, much like you, Charlie, I can't really remember a time she's put something on my plate that I haven't eaten. So mostly I am fine with that arrangement.
Well, I guess I'm quite hypocritical because I get offended by the assumption, but then I eat it anyway.
Yeah.
Like the fact that, hey, I'm not just some kind of like bozo that you can scrape food onto, but I will eat that.
Oh, no, if someone wants to put more on my plate, I'm fine with it. It's when people start to take things off my plate that, you know, it needs to be a negotiation. But if you're just going to put extra shit on my plate, fine with that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I don't know if I've ever put stuff onto someone's plate, but I definitely do that thing where I will, once I'm done with my food, like whether or not there's food left on the plate or it's an empty plate, I can't have that plate anywhere near me. It's like my, it's like I feel shame or something like that. I have to push it away. I don't like having the empty plate in front of me. I need to be able to put my arms down on the table or something. It's weird. I don't know. You like that?
No. Okay. This is weird now. No, it's good. Right. We just had to ask an extra question and we got to the weird shit. So what is this about? You can't have an empty plate in front of you because there's some sort of survivor's guilt? The fact that you've got a full tummy and some people don't? Is it a Catholic thing?
That's not just me. I think that there's other people I've seen do it as well. It's just like you just, as soon as that plate's done, normally I'll just pick it up and take it away. But I just don't like having the dirty plate in front of me. It's kind of like, I don't know, like dirty clothes. Once I get undressed, I just don't leave my underpants on the floor. I put them away.
I mean, I've got to be honest with you. I rarely leave a dirty plate. Like if I have enjoyed
You're just licking face first.
It's like, could we stop that guy going down on my cutlery, please? Like my crockery? Why is he licking the plate at the table? Yeah, I am definitely I will try to get every single bit of value there is out of serving implement.
Maple syrup is the one time that I will lick the plate because it's like that stuff is so good and it's expensive too. That if I've had pancakes, I will definitely I'm not ashamed to lick a plate. I will circumnavigate that motherfucker like the world's greatest porn star. I will give that plate a lingus like you wouldn't believe.
When I was in Melbourne, speaking of pancakes, I hadn't had pancakes for a long time, but we talk about pancakes so often on this podcast. And I think it was like a Sunday night or like something like that. I've come home from a show. There was basically nothing open. Might have been Easter Sunday, I reckon. So there was just nothing really open even on Uber Eats. And this was pre my couple of weeks of toast period. So I was craving something a bit sweet and there was this like I couldn't work out what to order. So the pancake parlor was just down the road. And I'm like, oh my God.
The pancake parlor.
I haven't been to the pancake parlor for a very long time. And obviously I'm not going out there because it's COVID times, but maybe I can get pancakes delivered.
I'm just opening my blinds again. It was getting a bit dark.
What was that noise? It's like, are there two cats fucking in Charlie's? Like, what is that?
This might be the first episode I would recommend no one. I think if you listen to it and don't look at it, the theater of the mind will be incredible for this episode.
Oh, yeah. So it really does sound like we've added sound effects. We've brought in a Murray Tregoning to really jazz up the podcast.
Yes. Sorry, I interrupted you. So you went to the pancake bar.
I didn't go. I ordered takeaway pancakes. Do pancakes travel well? Not really is probably the answer. No. But it did mean that I could order what I thought was the appropriate amount of condiments because I never believe they bring you enough butter at the pancake parlor for your pancakes. So like when you're on the Uber Eats, you can just go extra butter, cream, whipped cream, you know, like the whole thing. So it came with everything. It was quite delicious. But I ordered, do you remember those malted milkshake sort of things that the – I can't even remember what they're called, but it was like a real pancake parlor thing that I've never really like had anywhere else.
A malt milkshake?
It's kind of like a malt thick shake, Swiss malt sort of like drink that was like, yeah, it was an iconically pancake parlor. You could only get it at the pancake parlor style drink. And I was like, oh, nostalgia is very powerful. I'm going to get me one of those drinks. And very much like your donut hangover, that fucking thick shake gave me I honestly lay in bed shivering. I was like, that was no good. I should not have, particularly really late at night. Like I'm just like, anyway, I'll drink this. All right, bedtime. No, it's not.
Yeah. Do you think that is like part of, in the same way that as we're getting older, we can't process alcohol like we used to, and alcohol contains a lot of sugar. It must be a similar thing, right? Like a sugar hangover, because this is twice now that I've attempted to eat something that was very sweet and it's just I've come a cropper. And this is like stuff that even 5 years ago I could have smashed without even worrying about it. Like I'm getting head acne. I can't eat donuts. I mean, what the fuck is going on? Having a hard time adjusting my light. I mean, that's a separate issue. But I mean, what is going on? Like, why can't our bodies just continue to be awesome at just like fucking processing stuff? Why do I have to get so smurfed up?
I know.
Donuts.
It's sad to me that I'm very clearly on the way out, not the way in anymore. Like, I know that's probably been realistically the case for maybe even a decade now, you know, that like I'm in the second half of my life rather than in the first half of my life. But it is becoming extremely apparent to me now that I am in the second half of my life and the good times are gone and it is only downhill from here.
It's the eyesight thing. Oh my God. It's getting me.
Charlie, in the car the other night, I now have to take my reading glasses everywhere. I could not even read my phone. Someone sent me a message after the show and it was an important message and I could not respond to it because I would have just been guessing what they said and then mashing the keyboard in response.
This morning, I mean, at least you've gone and got the glasses. I'm still like doing this thing of just like, what is the correct distance to hold this in my face so I can read it? This morning, I wanted to put a nice post on Instagram for Mother's Day. So I wrote this heartfelt post and put some photos up of Gem and Iona. And then about half an hour later, I went back to check it. And I'm like, why is everyone laughing in the comments? And I'd written, Happy Moiters Day. M-O-I-T-E-R-S. I'm like, what is a moiter? And how come I got spell checked? Happy Moiters Day.
So what did you spell?
I was trying to say mother, but I must. Yeah. But I wrote moiter. M-O-I. I think it was T. M-O-I-T-E-R or M-O-I.
Moiter.
T-H-E-R.
T-H-E-R. Oh, moiter. Let's see. Moiter definition. So, to bother or bewilder, to talk in a this is perfect for this podcast. To talk in a rambling or confused manner.
Oh my God, Will, happy Moiters Day. It's perfect.
Happy Moiters Day. Every day is Moiters Day on TOEFOP. Say hi to your moiter for us.
You moiter fucker. all right, let's get to the mailbag. Before we get to the correspondence, let people know that, yes, if you want to see this absolute calamitous episode of TOEFOP, you can go to patreon.com where we always post the full episodes of every show plus bonus episodes where we answer mailbags. There's comic strips by James Fosdyke, Everyone Relax, and Quantum Cop. Or just go to TOEFOP.com and check out some of our other great podcasts and just give them a like, give them a subscribe, tell people that's the way you can non-financially support the show. Will,
yeah, and of course you can also help us by going to the listener app for our podcast, Two Guys, One Cup, which is an AFL adjacent podcast. If you like this, even if you don't love AFL football, sometimes we barely talk about AFL football. And the way my team's going this season, I'll be encouraging us to talk less and less about AFL football. We'll talk about Charlie's team and then we'll just get on to other random bullshit. Anyway, you can find that exclusively on the listener app. And we're so pleased that so many of you have made the journey over there. That is really helpful to us. And by doing that, it actually helps TOEFOP come out regularly as well, because obviously it's all part of the grand universe. And of course, FOFOP. Last week I had Justin Hamilton on the podcast. Who have you got on FOFOP this week?
Adam Zwar has come back on the show. He's written a fantastic book called 12 Summers, which is a memoir, a hilarious memoir, but told in parallel with his love of Australian cricket. And we had some internet issues. There was a bit of a delay, so I have to edit it up properly. But it's a great – I mean, Adam is such a great storyteller. And if you're fans of books like Saturday Afternoon Fever, this is – it's just a great chat. Like, I haven't really followed Aussie cricket since the mid-90s, but the stories he brings up and the memories, I just like, oh, my God, yes, I remember that. And he's also just – his time as an entertainment journalist interviewing people like Billy Idol and AC/DC, there's just some great stories in there. So Adam Zwar is the guest on FOFOP. And you're doing stand-up, Will.
And a big shout-out to – can I just say a big shout-out to Adam as well, because his father recently passed. And, I just want to, you know, let him know if he ever hears this that we're sending all our love to him as well about that. Yes, I am doing stand-up shows. I have a little run of them to go, which is Brisbane election weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Will Logical. And then on the Sunday night, two shows of What You Talking About, Will, which is my improvised stand-up show. So I would love to see you come along to those. Thanks to everyone who came out in Sydney.
We've got a little bit of mail here. All of it is kind of five themed. So that will be our five content for this week. This is from Callie saying, "Hi, Will, but especially Charlie. I listened to the last five heavy TOEFOP eps. I think you just need to embrace your boy and girl band love. Charlie, it's okay. Honestly, you can love manufactured pop and still be cool. Maybe. We have support groups on Tumblr and everything. Yours in boy, girl, band, love, solidarity, Callie." What do you reckon, Will? Can someone love boy bands and still be cool?
Well, there's nothing that says mainstream acceptance like having support groups on Tumblr to me. You know, the one universal social media that everybody is still using, Tumblr. I think you can. I think it's a different world now. I think that K-pop has changed the game completely in people's like understanding of what manufactured pop music is and what role it plays in the pop music sphere. I think that you just need to own a little bit more. I feel like you've been going in like it should be something that you're embarrassed about. And now you have to just go, no, I'm not embarrassed about this. I am Australia's leading five aficionado. So,
well, but it did get to the point where someone from, like, I think the official five fan club, because all the online chatter had got back to them. Yeah. And so they were messaging us during the week saying, "Oh, yeah, you guys should definitely go see them. The guys are lovely, blah, 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 blah." And I'm like, no, this is going too far. I like it when it's theoretical. I like us talking about it, but I don't want to be drawn into this world. I don't want to be engaging with the band. Apart from Jay. Is Jay, hashtag is Jay okay? Like, that's the only member of the band I want to talk to.
Don't you think that it would be fun to just be friends with the three remaining members of five? Like, just, you know, like if like one of their songs came on at a party, we'd be like, you know, we know these guys. We actually met them at the Rudy Hill RSL after a gig. Okay. We're friends with them now.
I guess.
By the way, is Jay okay? Like, I mean, maybe this is the way we can find out if Jay is okay. I know surely someone in the band still knows where Jay is and what Jay is up to. Like, we've got to find out if Jay's okay.
This is from Sasha. "Hey, Will and the Five guy. Hope you're doing well. I just finished your last episode. And yes, I'm one of those guys who's a Patreon supporter of Willosophy who is more than happy for that donation to then go to the collective TOEFOP pods and funds. But it's easier for you. If it's easy for you, I can alter it whatever suits you best." No, mate, that's fine. If you're happy just to leave your money going to Willosophy, like Will says, it's all going to the same account. So, Charlie, you said you needed to branch off your five fixation. So here's a little sideways step. Please check out my amazing friend who is an awesome rapper from San Fran. He goes by the name Fifth. You see the five reference? Like me, he escaped a high-control religious cult, Jehovah's Witnesses, and has produced some great tracks about breaking free. Might make some good TOEFOP content. Please check out this one track, "The Cost of Doing Business." You can find it on YouTube. Oh, and also, I'd be keen to be one of the 200 you need for the 8-hour podcasting marathon idea if you ever do it. It sounds like a typically stupid but very TOEFOP-branded idea. Yeah, so we did run a poll during the week to see how many people we had. Like, the majority of people who responded on Instagram and Twitter did say they would come, but we had less than 200 respondents in the positive. So I said we have to be guaranteed at least 200.
Even in a theoretical sense, there was less than 200 people who said that they would do it. Like, even when there was no real stakes on the line, we weren't collecting names or addresses or credit card details, and we couldn't even get 200 to agree to it in that format.
Final bit of mail here from Carl. "Gents, I love the pod. Thank you for putting it together. All the talk about five reminded me of something I saw happen a few years ago. I thought you might get a chuckle out of this story. I was on the tube in London quite late one night. There must have been a five concert on, as there was a few middle-aged-ish women on their way home in various merch and paraphernalia. One lady must have quite enjoyed reliving her youth, as she'd scrawled five, as in the number five, IVE, on her arms and legs in Texter, and had obviously had quite a few drinks and was feeling quite merry. A dude on the train noticed the scrawling and asked what it was. She explained that it was a boy band from the 90s and he remembered them. Then he started singing the chorus from one of their songs. He must have hit all the right notes, as our protagonist lunges at him, pashes him for about a minute until we pull up to the station. She lets go, perhaps realizes she's no longer a teenager, and quickly jumps off the train, visibly embarrassed. We watched as she runs down the platform jumps back on the tube into what she thinks is a different carriage to sit down, but it takes her a few seconds to look up and realize she's re-entered the same carriage, just at a different door. She sits there trying not to make eye contact with anyone until she gets up again in the next stop and presumably goes to a different carriage this time. What would you have done if you were in her shoes?
Well,
probably wouldn't have kissed some random dude on the tube in London. I think that would be my first step.
I mean, that's the power of five.
It really is, man.
That is the power.
I would love to know what song he sang that got her so hot and bothered. Maybe when the lights go out.
Yeah, but well, she needed the lights to go out because she clearly got back on the same carriage. That, to me, is the favorite bit. She's like, I've got to get out of here. This is a bad thing. I've made a bad choice. Run, run, run. Real sliding doors moment, except it's the same train carriage.
I mean, there's a thing that happens to people when they ask out bar staff or waiters and then get turned down and then have to stay at their table or at the bar with the person who's just rejected them. What's more embarrassing?
Look, I think just in this situation, it's all fun. This is all fun, right? Like, you go to a Five concert, you scroll Five on your like legs in Texter, you pash a random on the train, and then you think you're escaping them, and they just end up in the same carriage. It's a good night out. Good story for the girls.
Well, maybe that is like a warning for us not to go see Five at the Rudy Hill RSL. Because what happens if they get us so hot and bothered that you want to pass on the train home? We just start passing.
Oh, strangers, not the band Five, not the three remaining members of the band Five.
No, we respect the three members, the three of Five, fifths.
I mean, it would be a good place if you were like a sort of a middle-aged man who was looking for some love. And, you know, maybe looking to meet some eligible women. Like, you know, you go there, you let the three remaining members of Five warm them up, get them in the mood, and then you just sweep in at the last moment.
Yeah. Sweep in like abs. Used to sweep in the opening scene of the Everybody Dance music video. Anyway, that's Tofop for this week. Make sure you check out our Patreon. Support us any way you can, whether it's verbally, recommendations, or financially. It all goes to the one place and helps us keep doing this show. But for now, I'm Charlie Clawson.
Well, I'm Will Anderson.
This podcast is a Tofop production.
Head to tofop.com for more
cool things for cool people.